Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We are joined by Bill Gertz, a man we have the privilege of speaking with each week. He brings extraordinary acumen as well as corporate memory to bear on behalf of our understanding, and I think, frankly, that of all Americans, about the nature of the strategic environment in which we find ourselves and actually ways in which we're making it more dangerous. I want to thank Bill for his time, especially today, this special hour-long sort of retrospective on what has happened in 2014 and what it augurs for the year to come. Bill, again, thank you for your time. We're talking now, I guess, sort of a tour de raison of other bad actors. We've talked about China. We've talked a bit about Russia. What do you make of the attack by North Korea, speaking of cyber warfare, against a private company, Sony, earlier this year? And does it suggest that we've entered a very problematic new phase in terms of enemies willing to use asymmetric cyber capabilities against us on a broad scale?
Yeah, the issue of North Korea's cyber attack against Sony Pictures Entertainment. It was clearly a information warfare campaign. And I think that this is going to be the most significant type of warfare that's coming our way in the years ahead. This idea of using non-kinetic and cyber warfare attacks as a surrogate for conflict. And this is something that the U.S. government is ill-prepared to deal with and definitely needs some type of counter-information warfare capability. That's the big takeaway from the Sony Pictures hack. Now, in terms of the attack itself, it was the administration really mishandled its response. This attack, which took place in early December, was clearly known within the U.S. intelligence community very early on to have been a state-sponsored cyber attack emanating from elements of North Korea. It didn't take place from North Korea. The hackers had been traced to a hotel in Thailand. But the forensic evidence suggests that the malicious software used in the attack and the extreme sophistication of it could only have come from North Korea, because those are the people that have the motivation. Now, the background of it is that Sony Pictures produced a comedy called The Interview, which was going after the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, in an assassination plot. It's clear that the North Korean leader has no sense of humor. And clearly, in North Korea, the government there, they care about nothing about their people, about world affairs for that matter, other than the personality cult of Kim Jong-un.
And preserving the regime. And Bill, something you said was really striking, and it really speaks to this new environment. Only the North Koreans could have had the level of sophisticated capabilities to engage in this kind of attack. Obviously, there are a few of their friends and probably people who helped them get those capabilities, the Russians, the Chinese, maybe the Iranians. But basically what you're saying is now, even third world countries, desperately poor, indeed essentially pathetic countries like North Korea, actually are able now to use cyber techniques to attack, you know, the most powerful nations in the world, including ours.
And influence the policies of the country and of the company. That's the most troubling aspect, is that Sony pulled this movie from distribution, which in a sense gave in to the North Koreans and setting an extremely bad precedent. It's the signal to the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians and other states.
The Islamists, more generally, yeah, that you can't do even in the entertainment sector what they don't want you to do. Our guest again is Bill Gertz. Let me just mention very quickly the short names of his six marvelous books. There's so much information packed in each of them that I really highly commend them to you. Enemies, Treachery, Breakdown, The China Threat, Betrayal, and The Failure Factory. Bill, you have made such enormous contributions to our understanding of these various challenges over a very long time, and I think anticipated many of the threats that we're now facing. Let me turn quickly to the Islamists with you. We've obviously been seeing an intensification in 2014 of what I think is best described as the global jihad movement. We've now got a situation on our hands where we face from Australia to Afghanistan to Iraq to Canada to our own country, acts of violent jihad and the stealthy kind. Is it still, in your estimation, the case that our own government really hasn't got a grip on what is the nature of this enemy, let alone how to counter it?
Yes, and I would say that the recent attack in Pakistan by the Taliban, killing 141 students, really highlights, for me, the problem of misunderstanding the nature of this threat. I have stated, and I'll state it again, that the failure to understand the motivating ideology behind the jihadist threat, Islamic extremism, is the key factor in the failure for these kinds of attacks. It's both governments and publics around the world are not being told the truth about these. And you've certainly been a leader on this front, and I've done my best through my reporting to try and highlight this fact. But this is what happens when you don't understand that we're facing a fundamental jihadist ideology that must be attacked. It's not just killing off the leaders of these groups, as we're doing right now in Iraq against the ISIL group. They're a self-generating force. They're going to replace the leaders that we killed. But when their ideology is attacked, ultimately that's the way to defeat this group. And that's really what really needs to be done. And I hope that in the coming year, that can be one thing that perhaps the Republicans in Congress and if some way this administration, which has said it wants to battle the ideology of Islamic extremism, would take up that cause, other than farming it out to states like Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, which aren't going to do it, which are part of the problem.
Part of the problem. And Bill, you've given a lot of thought to this, and I commend you for it. It's a part of the work that you do that is really indispensable, is not simply monitoring what's going on, but actually thinking very creatively about how the United States had best deal with some of these problems. And I want to come in our final segment with you in this special year-end edition of Secure Freedom Radio to talk about what the United States had best be doing about all of these threats. But just on this topic of a counter-ideological capability, what kind of thinking do you think we need to see in Congress, if not in the executive branch, but ideally in both? And more to the point, sort of programmatic capabilities.
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, to me, one of the most important features of modern warfare in the 21st century is this idea of information warfare. War is an extension of politics by other means. Now, information war is part of the game, and the U.S. has totally doesn't have the capabilities. During the Cold War, we had the U.S. Information Agency, which people dismissed as simply a propaganda outfit, but it was very effective on a number of fronts in countering the ideology of Soviet communism. We did away with that organization, folded it into the State Department, and it was done under conservatives in Congress, but unfortunately it was a mistake. And we really need to get back to creating a type of organization, a U.S. information, I call it Information America. And the purpose of this strategic organization would be to tell the truth about America and its values and its systems, its democratic system, its free markets, and especially to counter disinformation and lies. And I think that this is so urgently needed because, as we can see from the Sony hack, as we can see from the information attacks by Islamists, as we can see by China's information warfare, as we see from Russia waging information warfare about its military aggression in Ukraine, this is something that has to be done. And hopefully we can get some leading lights in Congress to take up this cause and really develop a new information warfare capability for the United States.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, especially as part of a more comprehensive strategy for waging counter-ideological war. As you know, Bill, we're very keen on the idea of adapting the strategy that Ronald Reagan used to great effect against the Soviet Union a few decades ago. We'll be talking about what else the United States needs to do to assure your security and that of our country in 2015 and beyond. Bill Gertz of the Washington Times and the Washington Free Beacon. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.